I read a statement this week, and we're going to go back to Ephesians 2, but I just want to read this. I don't know who made it, but I really do like it. It says, we are not human beings going through a temporal spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. I thought that was very good. Well, we've heard it for a long, long time that we're spirit beings. We've talked about it. But I just think that it's, you know, God, I believe that just God is just reiterating that over and over again, because creation has their eyes on this external so much, and religion has its eyes on the outside, on what's on the outside, and how you look, whether you look religious, dress religious, or act religious, or go to church, or do the things. And yet, when it is so plain that God's word tells us that God does not look at the outward. He told Samuel, he said, man looks at the outward, but God, I look at the heart. I look at the reality of who man is. And he is a spiritual being that came out from God and that was lowered into this dimension of time, and is being processed through this dimension of time, or experienced it. And I just like that we're not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. That even at its longest, this human experience, in our estimation, seems like a long time. When we say, wow, 66 years, that's a long time. But when you compare that to a place of timelessness with no time at all, eternity, it's nothing. And so we're temporarily going through this human experience on our journey out from God, being processed through God, hallelujah, and returning back into the Father who had created us. And just becoming an expression of the Christ in the earth. You know, God is experienced. And I remember someone told me one time, they told God, how did you experience old age? Because you never partake of it. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, God said, I've experienced it through you. God is experiencing this human expression through you and I. And in the midst of it, he is forever opening up, unveiling his revelation in us, that is causing us to remember where we came from and to remember who we are in reality, and then to see where we're going. He's lighting up the path to show us where we're going. And so last week we were talking about the second chapter of Ephesians, and how that this chapter can be taken in the natural and also in the spiritual, and how that the first part of the chapter has told us that we are seated with him in heavenly places, and that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that he has recreated us in Christ. He has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And over the word says we are now his sons. We're, you know, it's not what we will be, it's what we are. That there's everything that is within us that we need for manifestation or to go forward in the kingdom of God is within us. There's nothing outside of us that we need to progress into God. And Jesus told us, he said that it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter or the Paracletos will not come. the one that is called alongside, the teacher, they said, he will teach you all things. And that is what he's doing. He's teaching us. Even though we speak and teach his word, that word does not become life until the Spirit speaks it within us. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God takes that word that we hear, and as we meditate on it and as we think on it, he speaks it into us, and that word becomes life, becomes spirit and life, which is ever changing us. We are a changing people. We're being transformed. We're being metamorphosed day by day into a higher realm of consciousness. Hallelujah. That God is bringing us, opening us up, and allowing us to remember the things that we knew before we were lowered into this dimension of time. And he is such an awesome and great and almighty God. And to think that he dwells within us, that we are his dwelling place. And in Ephesians, we read it last week, Ephesians 2 and verse 15, says he, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified, says, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the enmity, and that word, if you look it up in the Greek, it is hatred. The hatred caused by the law with its decrees and ordinances, which he annulled. Now, if you read it in the Amplified, it says, having abolished in the flesh the hatred, even the law of commandments. And, you know, when we look at God's word, we have to look at it with the understanding of what he's saying. You know, people still want to live, or religion still wants to live under the laws of do's and don'ts. And here he says in the King James, which according to many people are the authorized version, or the only one that some people say, it says he's abolished it. He's abolished the laws of commandments contained in the ordinance. And it says in the Amplified, which he annulled, that he may from the two might create in himself one new man, one new quantity of humanity out of the two, so making peace. Now, I know in the natural, he's talking about the Jews and the Greeks. But in the spiritual, he's talking about the body, or the spirit and the soul, that he might make one and the body, one new quality of man. And what is that? That is us being clothed upon with that body or that tabernacle that Jesus had when he came forth out of the grave. Just think about it. I mean, he came forth out of that grave, immortal, never to die again. And that's what we're heading toward, is being clothed upon with immortality. Bless his name. And that he abolish it all, that he may make one new quality, a quantity of humanity out of the two, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, or the hatred. In the Amplified, it says that he might bring the feud to an end. I like that. Now, we know in the natural that there's still tremendous hatred and animosity between the Jews and the Palestinians or the Arabs. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's a feud going on between the body and the spirit and the soul.
Oh, yeah.
we're still trying to look at this outward realm, even though God has delivered us from a lot of it. And I say this and want to preface it with this. It's not anything that we have done. But God's brought us a long ways out of that religious mind that has so possessed the church in trying to be something in the flesh that you're really not. Because we were talking about it this morning. The reason people do it is because they really want to do the things of the world. They're not honest about it. They won't tell you they want to. Or they do it in secret. I remember when television came along, there are people that absolutely would not darken the doors of a movie theater. But when television came along, they would sit down in their living room and watch the same new movie that they wouldn't dare have gone to the theater to watch. You know, there's just a double standard. And let's be honest with ourselves. We cannot live the Ten Commandments outside of Christ. It's not something that we do. The life that Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm dead. But the life that I now live in this flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I, but it's Christ. He also said, I can do all things through Christ, which He saved or redeemed us. It's not what I do. It's what I be. And the true reality of who I am a son of the Creator of this universe, the Almighty God. We are His offspring. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are those that have been called to this hour. And there's nothing there that we can boast in. I can't boast. Paul said I can only boast in the cross. I can't boast in where I am. I didn't do it. He did it in me, thank God. It is Him that worketh His will and His purpose in us to bring forth in the earth an expression of Himself. That just as He is, so are we in this world. That as Jesus spoke the words of God into creation when He did His work on earth, the same thing will be done in you and I, or is being done in us, to speak God's word. And so therefore, you know, He brought the feud to an end. He preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that nigh, and that through Him we have access to the Spirit, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And in verse 19 it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're no longer outsiders. We're no longer exiles. We're no longer migrants. We're no longer aliens, excluded from the right of citizenship. But you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for Him, and you belong to God's own household. Hallelujah. We belong to God's own household, or the household of God. That, you know, there, as I've said before, there's certain rights that come with sonship. And bless the Lord, I'm speaking to myself. We are living below the rights that we have. And let me just say this, it's not because of us. That's why God is telling us these things. That's why God is explaining these things. That's why God is telling us over and over again that we are a spirit being. That's why our Father is telling us over and over again, you're my son. I love you. I came an expression of flesh and blood. Hebrews says He identified with flesh and blood. He didn't identify with the angels, but He identified with flesh and blood. And he came and destroyed him that hath the power over death, and kept us in bondage all these years. He destroyed it. And he says, you're my son, you're my child. Everything that I have is yours. You see, sometimes he has to say it over and over and over again to us to get through our hard noggins, because we're coming from this human experience. And what do? We try to go by what we see and not what we don't see. But when it comes to God, it is not what we see, it's what we don't see. The natural is perishing with the using. But that inward man, that Christed man, that anointed man, that spirit man, hallelujah, is just growing. He is exploding within us. Our consciousness in this hour is just going through an explosion of the Word of God as He keeps telling us who we are. And one day, as in with all the things that He's told us over and over again, and we finally woke up and we saw it, one day we're going to wake up and say, huh, I know. We are now His son. I am now His son. And it's going to be a whole new revelation that is going to flood us and overtake us with that reality. Because it's one thing to say something with your mouth, but it's another thing for it to be birthed in your spirit, for the words to become spirit and life and reality, and that we begin to walk in the consciousness of who we really are. And He did all this. And in verse 20 He says, and you, and are built up, not will be. You know, this is not future tense. This is not somewhere out there in the wild blue way yonder or in ages to come. But it says, you, we are built up upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, we know what a foundation is. If you go to build a house, there are certain codes and regulations. You have to dig down, and you have to put a footer, and you have to build a foundation that is capable of holding that house. Well, let me tell you something. You've got the foundation. The Bible is that foundation. That the apostles and the prophets, the words there. You know, we've always talked about that being our kindergarten tool. Well, that's the foundation. That's not the building, the foundation. But it said you're built upon that foundation. And He also told us that the rock that is hewn out of the mountain, we have a foundation that cannot, will not, and shall not be ever moved. It will pass, and it has passed the test of time, and it will stay strong and unmovable in any storm that passes upon us. God's sure word that He has put down and spoken within us will not change. He will add to it. I mean, the foundation of salvation is still there. Did He do away with it when Pentecost came? No, He didn't do away with it. He added to it. It was another part of the building. The kingdom message? No, it was another part of the building. The salvation of all? No, it was another part of the building. It's line upon line and precept upon precept that He's building within us. We're built upon that. And in verse 21 it says, in Him all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple or dwelling place in the Lord. In the Amplified it says, in Him the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated and consecrated and sacred to the presence of the Lord. I like that. Because, you know, not only are we individually the temple of God, but we corporately are the lively stones that God is putting together and building for habitation. And I've often saw in history and seen some of the things that the Indians of South America and Mexico, when they built with stone, that their stones were so hewn together that and had nothing else between them, but you could not put anything in between them because they were so planed and so finished that they fit perfectly together. And that's what you and I are. God has so, and I want to say sanded, planed, because He puts you beside some people sometimes that are very rough sandpaper. But what He's doing, He's sanding those relationships. He's planing them. You see, I think one of the things that we have learned, I know that probably everybody has been in it, in relationships or in meetings or in times past, that when things get going rough, people run. You know, that's the first thing they do. They run. They go find them another place that's not as strenuous to be a part of, or the sandpaper is not quite as rough. But you know, the fact of the matter is, thank God, that there's a people in this world. And we meet some of them all the time, and we talk to some of them. And some people we've never even met, just talked to on the phone. That there is a binding. There is a bond in the spirit. There is a joining together that nothing can separate. And it is not based on, and I want you to hear this morning, it's not based on whether they believe like we believe or not. It is a spiritual joining. That just because someone don't believe like we believe, we don't throw them out with the bathwater. But what they do believe and what we do believe is not the basis of our relationship. Our relationship is a spiritual relationship and a spiritual bonding. And He says here that He's been joined, He's been bound, and been welded together harmoniously. Now I'm going to tell you something like that. A joint that has been joined and has been bound and has been welded together harmoniously cannot be taken apart. I'm sorry. You've got me. You know, you can't become not a part of us, of me, or you, or those that we're bound to. God has used His spiritual welding, and He has bound together this family of God, this first fruit company of God, that He sovereignly called out for Himself as a part of that family of God that is going to be birthed in the earth and manifested in the earth, that absolutely nothing can come between. You do not hear judgment. You do not hear condemnation, because we do not judge one another. And when we don't agree, we do not let that become between us, because we have to hear what God is saying. And maybe we don't agree with it today, but if we take and put it in our thinking and let God take care of it, next year this time we may be proclaiming that same truth, because that's God's prophetic way. And He tells us here that we're building, that we're growing, we're increasing into a holy temple, holy dwelling place, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. We are His dwelling place. We are His dwelling place. The Almighty Creator of this universe lives in us. and in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the very breath that we breathe. And it says in verse 22, in whom you are built together for a spiritual habitation of God through the Spirit, in Him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are also and be built up under this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in and by and through the Spirit. See, he said that we are being built up a habitation of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Note it. It is through the Spirit that God is doing this work in us. He's bringing us unto that place of habitation. He dwells within us, and He is building that habitation. He's torn down the wall. He's torn down the wall between the spirit and the soul. He's already done it. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. We are His Son now. And we know that when we see Him, the Word says, we shall be like Him. His Word dwelling in us. His Word being open and unveiled within us. The reality of His presence being in us. So, you know, go back to that first thing I quoted. Said that we are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. And the ending of this experience is returning back into the Father from whom we came. Hallelujah. He is, you know, how can you express who God is? How can you, all you can talk about, you can talk about His love, but the depth and the height and the width of His love is beyond our mortal tongues. And all of that love He has funneled and pinpointed toward you and I. He loves us unconditionally. And He proposed all of this for us before the foundation of the world. And now we are just walking out His purpose and His will for us in this experience that we're going through with. Being joined together. We're already welded together and joined together. We're already a habitation for God. But we're growing. We're maturing. We're entering into a greater depth of consciousness of who He is and who we are. He's birthing us. We're going through that birthing process that is bringing about the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We just bless His holy name. Amen.